Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Is it that time of the week again?
It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's glorious out, kind of.
Yeah, I would say so. The colors are not as miraculous as they normally are this time of year.
No.
And do you know why?
Because we haven't had killer frost.
Is it climate change?
It's climate change. This year's climate change. Last year we were in the middle of it was cold last year. It got cold faster last year.
And is that why the colors were glorious?
Yes, exactly. That's what they say. That's what the scientists say.
Yeah.
You have to have a pretty big frost to kill the chlorophyll.
Don't kill the chloroform.
Chlorophyll.
Don't kill the killer, please.
Yeah, exactly.
But is it even a valid profession anymore to be a scientist? I mean, isn't it kind of fake? Like, if, you know, it's like, oh, what are you? Oh, you're one of those fake professionals.
You just have theories. You can't prove anything.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
I think that you go, yeah. Oh, you went to school for all those years. You just had to read the Bible.
Yeah. Exactly right. It tells you everything.
It's everything you need to know.
And as believers, that's... Well, here's the dealio with that.
Tell me, Jules.
Okay, because I remember listening to this one woman. I can't think of her name now. I read her book. I
want to think Anne Rand?
No, she caught Anne Rice. And, the vampires were just there, all that, in the bag of chips. No, I can't remember her name, but I want to say her last name is Leaf.
Oh, Caroline Leaf.
Yes. Which is interesting because we're talking about fall.
Yes.
And her last name is Caroline Leaf.
Yes.
And she's a scientist. She's a medical doctor. I don't know if she's a PhD or an MD.
She's a, I don't know what, either one. And maybe both.
Right. And she talks about how the brain, you can reprogram your brain and you have, and she explains how it's done. And she says, and all you have to do is read the Bible because it talks about how renewing the mind.
Yes.
You know?
No, but see, okay, now.
And you're like,
I love her. Yes. Okay, now I'm not saying that. I love her.
Right.
Because I do believe that because I am a believer,
right?
In the sense that we're all one, and
yes.
I believe in the divine. That there's a divine spark of some,
right.
And that's a quark,
right?
I mean, it's all physics.
It is, and then you go.
It's a supernatural physics,
and so I like that how we are developing more language for what is to be known.
I agree,
and as we are expanding our knowledge base, obviously we're going to have better language to describe.
Those kind of theories.
Yes. And Eskimos have 1,000 words for snow?
Yeah.
Because they can.
Because there is that kind of, there's all different aspects of snow.
Mm-hmm.
There's white snow.
Exactly.
And then yellow snow.
Diesel-filled snow.
Mostly yellow snow.
Well, sometimes it's red snow, blood snow. There's all kinds of snow. And they're like, that's not what we mean. There's snow like, you know.
Yeah, we know.
We get it.
Yeah.
We just have really heavy, we call it heart attack snow. And we call it leaf blowing snow.
Yeah.
Because if I can blow it off the driveway, I'm happy.
Norm, stop. What are you wearing? A yellow sweater.
Yes.
Is that true?
That's what he...
Outside?
That
sounds good.
You said he couldn't wear anything else that he possibly might be able to wear in the future.
That's right. I said, don't wear anything good outside.
Yeah, don't wear anything good outside.
And so he's choosing to wear a yellow sweater.
Right, because he knew that would be the most offensive thing to you.
It's truly, it really is true. He looks like a stop sign.
A yield, more than
a yield, sorry.
I like stop signs. Right.
Sorry, whoops. Yeah, he looks like a yield sign.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we've been, I wanted to tell a story, story.
Okay, go for it.
This is a human interaction with an animal story. And I think the thing is, it's so telling about you because, for example, we're heading into town and there's a bicyclist on the road, which is pretty unseen, really. We don't really see that very often, a bicyclist on our highway.
Okay, right.
But he has a backpack on, and he is riding down the highway. And Julie says we better pull over. I'm sure he needs water.
Right.
And I'm like, really? He's got a backpack. He could have water in his backpack.
Right.
But no, you wanted to pull over to make sure that he had water. I won that little thing between us because I just like, Julie, please. Julie will stop at the drop of a hat to help somebody. We've had a dog that was in the river come in our car.
Yes.
Because she thought he was drowning. And then the car was like never the same again after that dog smell.
But he had a tag and I was able to call his owners.
So yes, exactly.
Where's he at now? Well, right now he's in the back seat of my car. He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, oops. But so this story is about a little tiny dog, probably weighs 2 to 3 pounds.
Yes.
And his owners kept him in. He has the two pets that live in that they stay out in their balcony on the second floor,
right?
Second story of their home,
right? Two little doggies, stand
yeah,
down.
Two tiny little 2-pound to 3-pound doggies,
right?
And this one just happened to fall in between the cracks and fell down,
literally
two stories.
Not figuratively a day, literally.
But he was the happiest little guy. Well, I mean, he was free,
right?
So he's out in the yard and he's in the street and he's barking at every single car that comes speeding down the thing. And so Julie must stop,
right,
to take care of this little dog,
right?
So we pull over and he is not having any of it. At first, I thought, oh, he's so tiny and fragile and delicate. But up close, he was like, he had one eye and he was a bruiser.
He definitely could have been in Spanky's gang.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Spanky's gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a bruiser.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, get away from me. Yeah. This is my territory. Yes. And I'm not going to.
I'm going to claim the road.
Yeah,
in front
I'm in
and
the road. I'm
door.
Free. I lived through this fall and I only got one eye and just leave me alone. And cars go fast.
Yes.
Down this road. Nobody's given. No. And so we pull over.
Right.
And so we knock on the owner's door. Nobody's home.
Right.
The We're other small dog.
Sure that we are assuming you well, as Mrs. Marples
yes,
wannabe.
Yes.
You as being Nancy Drew wannabe.
Correct.
You're like, well, Julie, let's think about this. You know, there is a dog that looks very similar to this dog on the front top porch.
On the other balcony.
On the other balcony.
They're both barking at each other.
Both barking at each other. This little dog's kind of hovering, even though he's on the street and everybody, he's kind of hovering around this house.
That's right.
There's a good chance it belongs to this house. I'm like,
yes.
You know what? I concur. Brava. I'll knock.
Right.
Nobody's there, which is weird because this house always has some activity.
Usually has like 10 druggies.
Right. And
you know.
So it's funny that at this moment you
there's
can't
nobody
find
nobody home.
Nobody to be seen. Now, just to give a little backstory, this house is an odd house. It's like one of the first houses into our subdivision.
Octagonal house.
It's an octagonal house. And what's weird, they're just an odd bunch of characters.
Yes.
I don't know them personally,
no.
but they're near the end of them.
Yeah. We've seen them.
And
for 20 years. We've
they're a little on the wild side.
Yes.
And what you've seen also is
they
like,
refuse to pay for trash pickup.
Yes.
Thus, they burn everything. And you would think that, okay, so that's a choice, right?
Yes.
And so you would think that they would burn things in their backyard.
No.
But no, they burn their stuff in their front yard.
And I don't think they
including
do it so
sofas.
Obvious. Yeah, they have burned a sofa, but I think someone complained because they don't do that as much. It's mostly just, you know, they must have bought the lot next to them and they're just trying to clear it. So they borderline on everything being just like suspicious.
Yeah.
And they also are very angry at people driving a little bit faster than the speed limit, which
yes.
is 20 miles an hour.
Yes.
So one time they put a a stroller.
Yes.
On the opposite side of their driveway.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the road. And a sign that says, slow down.
You killed our cat.
Yeah. Yes.
On the stroller.
On the stroller.
Yeah. So the stroller it was almost on the street.
Right.
But it had a big sign on it.
And
it says, slow
scary,
down.
Like, oh my God, there's a stroller right there.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Listen. I'm going
would
to
would you
say,
call that passive aggressive?
I would say more on the aggressive. If
yeah.
passive aggressive was a continuum.
Pugressive.
Yeah. aggressive. Yeah,
progressive.
It's a continuum.
As opposed to progressives.
Yeah, exactly. Not, oh, very good. Not progressive, but aggressive.
Yes.
But, you know, this idea that you do stop fast when you think there's a stroller going to be entering your street.
Yeah.
But the truth is, a car going even the speed limit could run into a a feral cat or yes. your cat running across the street.
Right.
And it would be an accident.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how it's possible. There's dead squirrels in our subdivision.
Yeah, no. One time we saw a dead deer. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, how did you hit a deer?
Our subdivision has a speed limit of 20 miles an hour.
So let's say you go 22, 23. If you're on your way home from work and you have to poop, you're pushing it about 28, 29, I think.
But to hit a deer.
Yeah, because you're typically having to slow down and turn. There are no straight, ways.
It's a crooked subdivision.
And it's a wild subdivision with lots of roads. And it's just,
Yeah.
And not a lot of homes. So it's it's fine. But, yada, yada, yada. And then, I then decide that I'm going to go, I'm debating with mother.
Well, no, you want to pick him up and put him in our car.
I really don't. I'm hoping that someone else will rescue me. Because if it was by myself, I might have done that. But I have your consciousness in my head as well.
And you know what I'm thinking.
Let it be. I don't know what I asked you. I go, what would you want me to do?
I kind of wanted you to take it home and put it in our gazebo.
Yes, and then
because he was kind of cute, one eye.
One
he was
eye.
Like rye, yada, and he was just like, he was just like all that in a bag of chips and 3 pounds at the most,
three literally. But he was a mean dog.
He was mean.
I'm just like, I'm gonna get bit. And then I saw the neighbors across the street.
Yeah,
in a cul-de-sac. I'm like. Maybe by chance they may know them.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I don't know any of my neighbors. I kind of do now.
Well, we really don't have neighbors like they do.
No.
I mean, we have to travel about 2 blocks.
Right.
To see our first neighbor.
Exactly.
So
it's the way we like it. Yeah.
But it's not like we don't know our neighbors.
Right. We know them.
We can say hi to them.
Yeah. I can wave to them, which they do. They all choose to walk
in
front of our yard.
We just don't know their medical records.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know if they're in thruples or not.
No. Which they could. I would like that. That'd be a great story. So anyway, luckily they have lots of cars in their front driveway. I go walk in and I say, do you by chance know your neighbors across the way? And they said, yeah. I go, do they have 2 dogs? Like, because there's a little dog running around the street. And she was an older woman, like in her 60s, 70s. And fortunately for me, I guess her son comes out and he's in his 30s and he's like, I'll go grab him. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone just took the responsibility. I handed you reins. Here are the responsibility reins. You go with him, ride that horse to its natural completion.
He thought he was so confident.
Yeah, to get the dog.
I'm going to go rescue his son.
And I'm like, I'm out of here.
But he did not, that dog's not having any of it.
And the problem is I have yet to see that dog again.
Yeah. He's gone. We don't know what happened.
And that's the sad. That's how most Good Samaritan stories go.
Yeah.
You never know.
You don't know the ending.
No. I mean, what if this guy was a guy that found dogs and then sold them for medical research?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Could be.
That guy.
He just thought like, I just need a lottery. I can get $200 for this dog. I don't know.
I don't know how much that dog was worth.
I don't know either. But I'm just saying, we just don't know the natural conclusion. But at that moment,
you were happy.
I was ecstatic.
Yeah.
I counted it as a good day because I tried to do a good deed.
Yeah.
And then I did it to my natural conclusion.
Right.
And passing it along to somebody else's natural conclusion. it is interesting because I think about this a lot.
You are a good deeder, though.
I'm a good
deeder.
Would
that be a do-gooder?
I wish I could marry that deeder guy. That would make my life happy. Is he already married? Is he the guy dating J-Lo? Dieter, that baseball player.
A-Rod? Alex Rodriguez?
Isn't there a Dieter? Is there a Dieter baseball player?
Jerry Dieter? Jimmy Dieters?
Dieter, I think, is a baseball
Peter
player.
Peter Dieter?
Yeah, that would be my... I would keep my married name. I keep my name and my married name.
Yeah.
So it would be Julie Peter Dieter.
Julie Peter Dieter. Oh, yeah, you got to do it.
I got to find him
out. We just got to find somebody that's named Dieter.
Yeah, and just say, hey, it would be awesome.
Let's just get married.
How could it not be successful?
Yeah.
How could it not be?
How could I not be a famous author?
Yes. Yeah. How could I not be? Let me count the ways.
The King of Ties by Julie Peters Dieters.
I would just call this a JPD. I would have to do that. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool name for a writer, JPD.
Yeah.
That's right. Because my real name is Julie Peters Dieter.
I saw this week, this has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Really?
But nothing? This week I was looking online at businesses for sale.
Okay.
And I saw a mattress business for sale just simply on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It's a mattress business on Amazon. And they were asking $33 million for it.
Holy mother of God.
Yeah. How many freaking mattresses can you sell?
Holy mother of
on
God.
Amazon to ask $33 million. And they were saying that this is the market was virtually untapped still.
I mean, here's a dealio. How often do we buy mattresses, really?
Yeah. Well, let's say you have a four-bedroom house.
Right.
So, and you
at
need
at the most, you buy one every 7 years, supposedly, right?
So that's every so that's four every 7 years.
So that's one every 2 years, let's say.
Yeah.
So you're buying a mattress every one every 2 years.
And how many people are there in the United States?
Maybe it's a big,
6 million?
Yeah. Maybe it's a 6 million?
No. 60 million? 600 million? 6 billion? What?
No, two,
it's a six, isn't
three.
It? 3 billion?
300 million, approximately.
Oh, 300 million in the United States.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
like that.
Divided by every 7 years.
Right.
That would be like 20 million mattresses a year.
Yeah, I believe that's right. It's a lot of mattresses.
times $500 a mattress. Okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
So they're asking 33. They're asking one-fifth of what you... Wait, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know the algorithm. Some kind of,
the algorithm there. However, is it totally turnkey? Like you don't have to touch anything?
Sorry, I almost peed myself. You got to touch your computer. Turn it on, go cha-ching, cha-ching,
so how
cha-ching.
Much, you know, so here's a dealio. You go, okay, well, here's a turnkey business. Turn on your computer business. $33 million. You probably need to get 20% down. So you,
oh honey, 50%
down.
You're going to finance it,
possibly. So do you think?
So the Deutsche Bank will finance it for you,
so
along with Trump,
this, like,
Trump stuff.
Well, I wonder if somebody who buys this business, is it a conglomerate?
Possibly. You're right. Yeah.
You know,
like an investment group.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can see that happening.
Yeah.
It would be hard for one investor to go, oh, I should just go ahead and buy this
right.
business for
$33 million. I need to buy this mattress business.
Yeah. And,
but let's say if you have a group of 10 people.
Yeah.
Each willing to put in $3 million.
I can totally see that.
And then hire a manager.
Right.
Like pay them like $250,000 a year.
Right.
To watch this.
Right.
And make sure it's all. Yeah, I can see that.
And so, because you're still
now you're like
thinking
Vegas.
With gas. Okay, like, got it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I need to envision my brain bigger. And
yeah.
How to
well, I mean, little did I know that you know that mattresses would be the new.
It is.
I mean.
Well, what you
we you
what
know
we did
we,
was we learned
we thought scrubs would be the big thing.
Which I went to Rockford last night and I saw this big. More brick and mortar building standalone.
Yeah.
Scrubs and More is what it's called.
No.
Big, huge one. You know, can I say something though about mattresses?
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that combining something that you felt you had to buy locally, a mattress,
because
it has to be delivered.
Of course.
Or put it on top of your, I mean, come on. Everyone to put it on top of your car.
We always put them on the top of our car.
Yeah, and drive 30 miles.
Yeah, real slow.
Real slow.
Holding the mattress.
Yeah,
praise
That's
God. That's how you do it, goddammit.
Yeah. Who would have thought that they would high-tech it? I would never have imagined. Someone 10 years from now going, I'm telling you right now, Julie, I'm giving you a clue. I'm like, okay, what's your clue? Listen. I'm giving you the key to your fortune.
Here's your fortune.
Sell mattresses online.
Yeah.
I go, fuck, whatever. Come on.
No, wait, Julie, listen to me. They're going to be rolled up. They're going to be rolled up in a tight little ball, and that's how they'll be
But there's
delivered.
Springs in them. How's that going to happen?
Not in the future, Julie.
So you're trying to tell me.
In the year 2019.
So you're trying to tell me right now the key to my future.
Yes,
the key to my future finances is to sell king-size mattresses online through Amazon.
Yes.
I'm calling BS on that. And hence, this is why I'm here.
And Julie, I told you about Netflix.
Yes, you did tell me about that. And you told me about Apple.
You said, how could it be that when you get CDs in the mail, I don't get that.
Yes.
How could that be a multi-billion dollar business?
And you're like.
You laughed at me. I am telling you this thing, Julie.
Well,
but
can I
say
about
to
this
me.
Real quick? I knew about Netflix. I had an intuition about Netflix and Apple and Google. I knew all those things beforehand.
Did you know?
Yes, I did. Like way before. When everything was like at 10. And I thought to myself, you need to do this. However, I have nothing internally telling me to buy anything now. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing. The new thing is not there yet. Or the right. It's not. And I don't know what it will be.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what it is. I
tell
have,
me.
No, I'm not going to tell.
Oh, because you don't want to tell everybody else.
Right. Because I'm going to buy some Monday.
Okay, good. I'm there. And you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just promise to ourselves we'll do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I was funny because I come in and say hi to you guys this morning. And last night before I went to bed, you said, before you fall asleep, it's 10:30 at night, you said, go watch Evil on CBS.
Because you're always saying, Mama, I have to have something to watch before I go to bed. I just need to calm down.
You're like, yeah.
I'm like, go watch Evil.
It was really good. Evil. Go watch it. I'm like, okay. So I end up watching Evil. And it's about, it's kind of scary. But it brought up some questions. Have you ever done this? You go to bed watching it. You fall asleep. And thank God it's on demand because you're like, oh, I didn't see the ending. So this morning I have to go back and rewind and play until I and I watched the ending and like, this is really scary.
Yeah,
but what was even more fascinating is this, is that I then got hooked on into NCIS New Orleans because that's on Sunday mornings.
Yes.
And I remember a day I used to watch Joel Osteen on Sunday mornings, and I don't know what happened. I think it was all because during that flood time. I don't know. There was something going on that I just got out of the habit of watching him on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I come in and say hi to you guys, and I hear Dad talking about this podcast he happened to be listening to, and it was a podcast about successful people.
He was telling me about this podcast of successful people.
And he said, this guy was telling me that literally everybody has an additional work week in their work week.
Yes.
That they don't even realize.
Everybody has an additional 40 hours available to them in their week.
Yes. And they just, they piss it away basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, well, yeah, because I just basically pissed away 3 hours of watching Evil twice. And New Orleans.
And NCIS New Orleans.
NCIS New Orleans. So yes, I thought.
We always know how the NCIS ends. At the Festival of Sacred Cows, the third act, it always takes place
on Bourbon Street.
No, either that or at shipping docks.
Right, of course.
Where there's lots of containers.
For sure.
And they have to, like, turn around containers and run over containers.
Right.
And peek out behind containers.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I wake up going, okay, like, you've given up sugar. Mostly. Sometimes I have my days. Well, can I just say right now, I mentioned this to Doug yesterday. I go, you know what? I'm really hating my brother right now. He goes, why do you hate your brother? I go, not with a capital H, with a small H that's wrapped in a J called jealousy. I go, that's what
yes.
I kind of,
yeah. Because he can do this.
He goes, well, tell me why. What's going on? I go, okay, so you know my brother. I gave him my book on what I use to quiet the demon I call sugar inside of me. It's called 30 Day Sobriety. But it's a book designed for people who want to stop or quit drinking or thrive in sobriety of any sort.
Right.
And I'm a fan of Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield wrote this book with somebody
Julie
else.
Interviewed him personally.
Yes, I did. He's also a very generous guy.
Our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yes.
Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
For sure. And then I, so anyway,
Available on Amazon.
Yeah. But so anyway, I thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
We just got $121 from them.
I know. I loved it.
Last quarter. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
People are still buying it.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
It's nice.
I'm all there for that. And then anyway, so I'm there. What was I talking about? Oh, Gregory, my little H wrapped in J and so forth. And so he gave up drinking for 30 days. He doesn't have, I wouldn't call him a big drinker.
No.
But he is like me in the sense of, like, if I have, I don't drink it all because I don't like the taste of it overall. Mm-hmm. However, I don't mind strawberry daiquiris. I'd have 12 because they're basically sugar alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I love my sugar, and one cookie never does it.
Right.
You remember Tim Gunn from Project Runway.
Yeah.
He walked these ladies who were like the moms of the designers past the chef
craft table.
Craft table. Thank mm-hmm. you. Full of food for everybody, right? Yeah. And he goes, ladies, we have one rule here. One is never enough and two is too many. So we walk right on by. And you're like, he knows me so well. One is never enough and two is too many. So I have to walk by. So my shitty little brother easily gave up. Not easily, but he did the book. And he did every day.
30 days.
Gave up alcohol for 30 days.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, by the way, told me yesterday, I'm giving up sugar for 30 days. And I'm like, ew, for that. I'm like, you go, Greg. I'm so proud of you. I'm like, I'm so happy for you.
And we're like in the midst of like.
We
discovered Voortman's caramel cookies.
Yeah. And you're just like, God. Oh, man. Because you're interested in buying possibly a cookie run. And yes, you're like,
I have to try out Voortman's.
Yeah. See if they're good. And you're like, these are the best things I've ever had. And I look at Total Duck. I go, and here's a dealio. I have gone through this. I also bought the book on Audible, you know?
Yeah.
So I've listened to the book and the chapters. I go, I usually peter out around day 17, 18. You know, I just naturally peter out. And I go, here he is. He just did it. I go, I love him and I hate him. Mm-hmm. And then Doug's trying to cheer me up a little bit. He goes, I understand. He goes, this morning, I didn't want to have donuts. You know, he just got back from the doctor's. Mm-hmm. You know, he's fine, but he's struggling with a few things. And he's like, I didn't want my powdered sugar donuts because I bought them anyway. I don't know why. I go, I know. When I see you, babe, I never question, oh, he's in the Coke again. No, he's not into the Coke. Yeah. It literally is powdered sugar.
That
powdered sugar donuts that he loves so
powder
much.
On your nose. And
yeah,
your,
that's not
it's
Coke.
Just Hostess.
It's just Hostess. Yeah. I get it. And so it's, you know, when I hear different podcasts and different medical things and they talk about this idea that you can reprogram your brain.
Yeah.
And that...
You really can.
You can.
It's like with not simple.
Right. And sometimes it can be simple if you find the right technique for you.
Right.
You know, I was listening to this one podcast, Joe Rogan.
And the thing is, it's not one and done either.
No,
that's the thing.
It's almost like a rubber band. Yeah. You know, you stretch it and you like, you know how sometimes you stretch a rubber band and then you put it around something and it holds its stretch for a while? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it pops off and it goes back and it's not back to the identical spot. It's back to it being stretched a little
meaning
bit.
You move the needle a little bit forward.
Yes.
Yeah. Except at some point that rubber band might break.
And then you're just like, screw it.
And then you screw it. I'm having a boatload of Hostess donuts.
Yes. I think the reason why sugar is such a big deal with me, and I'm not even going to say it, is only because you can still drive. You can still have a functioning life. You know what I'm saying? You're not stumbling typically, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But I digress. But that was the other thing. But there was something else I want to tell you. Oh, man.
About
oh,
Dad? Or
I know. We were talking about good deeds.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the bike, the cyclist.
Yes.
Well, that came after something else I had seen previously. Mm-hmm. I had traveled on Flag Road and I saw this gentleman walking. And he must be in either the around the block, you know, hit him a little bit too hard, you know, like, oh, she's been around the block. He's been around the block.
Okay.
You know, he looked weathered. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was wearing interesting clothing, like clothing that you might buy at some place supporting Himalayan clothing
Patagonia?
Makers.
Patagonia.
Possibly. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, get the visual.
Yes.
And he's wearing a backpack.
Got it.
But it's more like a canvas looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's running low and he's got his hoodie up and he's walking slow mm-hmm. on our street in front of our subdivision, which is in the middle of nowhere, by the way. Mm-hmm. You literally are 10 miles from anything.
Yeah. You wanted to give him, what did you want to stop? You wanted to give him a ride, didn't you?
But see, here's the dealio. I see him and I'm going, I just saw him 20 minutes ago, just a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
I go, where is he walking to?
Yeah, he was walking slow.
He was. And I look back and I would hear him, I saw him like gesturing to himself, like, ah, like another car passed me by without asking. I don't know. Dude, give me a sign. Because I also don't know. if, you know, sometimes I feel like, is everything a setup for a YouTube video? You know, hey, follow so-and-so on his travels across country. He's going to see if he can make it from point A to point B without spending any money and just on the kindness of strangers. Well, let me know that. Let me know that that's your goal.
Right.
Or are you happy? Did you start off 100 pounds heavier and you're like, I got these last 30 pounds to lose? I ain't quitting until I'm done. I ain't quitting. You know, I don't know.
And he's talking to himself.
Did he have a big loss?
Yeah.
Did he forget to buy the mattress company at $3 million and now it's worth $33 million and he just can't take any more?
Right.
And this is his way to heal himself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw him. I thought he looked a little foreign.
But he had blonde hair, which doesn't mean anything.
Oh, well, okay.
I know. To me, like
he looked foreign in the sense that most American men would not have decorated, dressed themselves
the way he did. That's why I said I thought he could have been
a little Norwegian.
Yes, he did look Patagonian/Norwegian. I totally think that's the vibe he was going for.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I'm not judging him, but my brain is trying to categorize him.
I know. You wanted to give him a ride.
Does he need? I didn't see him have a water bottle.
Yeah.
Does you need water?
You know. Can I say something though, Julie?
What?
Years ago, okay, when I was a kid, decades ago, we weren't. It wasn't really that cool to be a kid or an adult with a backpack.
Right.
Now, the cool kids have the backpacks.
Yes, and they have fanny packs.
And they can carry their water in their backpacks. Oh. You have described everything to me today. Everybody had backpacks on.
Yeah.
And yet you think they need water.
Right.
They could be having a keg in their backpack.
You're totally right. They could also have tons of needles in there and a gun.
Yes.
They're good to go. So you're saying as long as they have a backpack.
I'm assuming they're okay.
They're okay. And if they, and in that backpack, they may have a sign, help, I really need water.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I need a lift.
Right.
Heading west.
Right.
West, young man, heading west. To the land of LA where there are 60,000 homeless people.
I'm trying to get to LA.
I heard they'll take me.
Yeah.
I heard they'll take me gladly and we'll be okay together.
See, I just don't understand like why listen, if there are 60,000 homeless people, I don't know. Is there 60,000 churches in America? Every one church gets one homeless person.
Well, in Dixon, I remember our church asking for us to donate our time to the homeless shelter and locally.
Right.
So I think we could probably handle one more
homeless shelter,
one more homeless person.
Yeah, I just think every church should take on a homeless person.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah, and agree not to proselytize them either. I mean, you can maybe say, you know, God is good.
Yeah, God is good.
You know, but don't preach to them too much.
Right, and then come up with like here's your dealio. First step, we get you used to having shelter, a couple meals a day.
Yeah.
I would say 3 meals a day, but now we're into intermittent fasting. So really, you know, that whole
thing. May not be.
Yeah, they may not be. Like,
oh, by the way, you're fasting today. What? I just did that for the last 3 weeks.
I go, yeah, but now it's for a healthy cause.
Yeah.
Before you were just starving.
See, here's my problem is I'm too, I don't know what you would call it, but like when I heard about like people that try to win the lottery to come over here from Nigeria,
I love that story.
I want them to come to my house. I feel like they could help around the house. See, I'm not thinking, oh, I have an extra bedroom.
Right.
You can go there and just do whatever you want. I'm like, no, get acclimated. You can learn the language.
Right.
You can do. I got chores for you to do here.
I can teach you how to do a CDL license. We can get you going.
Yeah.
You could be, you know, and like, hey, for the next
mostly year. I want them to do chores. For a while,
because you've seen, yeah, because you've looked at your daughter and you're like, she's getting old. I'm thinking that, you know,
but wouldn't you like somebody to? Wouldn't you, if you were like, you know, you won the lottery and you wanted to go to a different country?
Yeah,
wouldn't you be, man? I'll come over and help you, no matter. For sure, I'll come over and help you.
But you must understand that the way you say it borderlines on servitude. Just a little bit. But now here's the dealio.
Yeah.
I do believe.
I'm not saying I won't pay them.
Right. You will pay.
Yeah.
You'll pay.
I could be their first job.
$12 an hour.
Well,
$10 an hour?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Minimum wage, whatever that is.
Whatever minimum wage is.
Depending on where you're at, it varies. But then you coach them into a plan.
100%.
And you're like, hey, now let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Your first year plan, you ain't run a CEO company. However, this is your first year plan.
Right.
And then when we get from this level, the jumping point is the next year plan and so forth. But in 5 to 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you too. Trying to find.
Well, I remember was it a couple weeks ago or something? We met a guy. I can't remember what it was now, but you said to him, you have to refresh my memory. But we met this person,
which is good because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe it was more than 2 weeks ago. But you went, oh, you just need a plan.
Right.
Do you remember that? You went, oh, you just need a plan.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about.
And you were just going to try and help him. If you thought that if he just had a plan
for
his life, a vision,
yeah.
It would be better.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. Who
was that guy?
I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm just like, oh, Jules, not with the plans again.
I know.
You just think that if he walks away, you know, with this little piece of paper in his hand with the plan,
right,
it's all going to be good.
No, I don't think it's all going to be good. But yet, I do think that someone.
And she goes, look, I got this plan. Oh, from who? Julie Peters Dieters. Oh, Julie Peters Dieters. then you better follow that plan.
Sometimes I ask God all the time, God, show me my next plan, because I don't know. I'm doing okay here, God. I'm doing what this plan was.
Joe, can I tell you? It's working around the house.
I'm getting paid. That's what I've been doing. I'm doing my plan. I guess I'm at the space where I'm supposed to be. You know,
did you call it
servitude? Servitude. Yes, I did a little bit. That's okay. We've talked about this because I've said, you know, we could be foster parents.
Yes.
We could.
And I could be a foster grandparent.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
But there is always this uptake in our life that that I'm not sure if we're really, really ready for.
Yeah.
Such as, I don't wear a bra all the time. Do I have to start wearing your bra all the time?
Such as, like, I used to let you guys drive the car at, like, 10.
Yes, you did.
Are they going to allow that?
You're going to have to up your game.
Yeah.
On being a foster parent. Because you got to remember, you're responsible for somebody else's kid.
Greg was saying yesterday or so that one of his little girls wanted some string.
Yeah.
And he said he looked high and low and finally went into the basement, into a closet, into one of the top shelves, taking a thing down, and finally found something that was string-like, yarn or something for her.
Yeah.
And I went, man, I never would have done that. I just went, really? Can't you do something else?
Yeah. Go find this string. There's string somewhere in this house. Find it.
I would have made it a game.
Yeah, you would have made it a game. Yeah. Okay,
you got 10 minutes to find string.
And then we're moving on. Yeah. You're going to have to give this up and we're moving on.
Exactly. I just didn't, you know, I just thought that there's the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny though, because I was talking to Greg about this a little bit and how you get used to a certain level of stuff in your life.
Yeah.
Like Gregory was mentioning when we were young, like 5 to 10 years old.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, our garage in our house was completely packed.
Yes.
It wasn't like trash.
No.
It was literally just packed
We had a store
boxes.
In it.
Yeah.
At one point.
We had a store in there.
Yeah.
Like a popcorn store out and put in our garage.
Right.
And it was literally packed, and you had a small little aisleway to go in and find stuff. So it was used as a storage unit.
It was a storage unit.
And so, he remembers that. I don't remember that much, but when he brings it up, I'm like, yeah, my God, that's right. And he goes, sometimes I go, I think my garage is looking like that sometimes. I'm like, it's not, but you know, I get it. But here's a dealio.
Yeah.
The course of our lives, we choose to live like that. Like we no longer have storage units.
Right.
You know, and our garage has
three. It was a conscious choice to declutter. When you write the book on decluttering,
you better have a conscious choice.
You better have a conscious choice.
So here we are in our garage,
yeah.
And we've got our mini, our Kia minivan.
Right.
We have our 1961 MG.
1960 MG.
And we have a golf cart.
Right.
In a two-car garage.
Right. And that's how clean our garage is.
However, we do have stuff around the outside.
Yeah,
the perimeter.
Rooms. Yes.
I remember Doug saying, he goes, boy, your garage looks so great. That same day he said that, you said to me, the exact same day you said that, you said to me, goes, our garage is out of control. Our garage needs to be decluttered. It's out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, your level keeps increasing.
It does.
So you could never, I mean, I don't know what had to happen in your life to degrade to a point where it was when our garage was our storage unit and we couldn't have a car in it.
Right. I mean, now at this point, never.
It would never go back.
No. My eye is totally different.
Yeah. Your band was stretched so much, it will never go back.
Exactly.
And so you can reprogram your mind.
Yeah.
Change can occur.
You can reprogram how you see things.
Exactly.
And I think, too, like my friends and I, we talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not a lot because it deals with death and stuff. But we talk about not leaving one thing on the planet.
Yeah, you've talked about me, but you have said to me before, I don't want to leave you with a mess.
Yeah.
And I reassure you, I go, first off, if something happened to you today, like an asteroid hit and didn't hit me, but somehow hit you and not me, you know.
Please, your cow. Please, your cow.
You know, you would have not left me a mess.
Oh, thank
you. Everything is fine.
Thank you.
Nothing is there. You know, but like you said, you're being called to this higher level of decluttering.
Right.
Where you're like, I want less.
Yeah.
Because we still...
Like, I want less of everything.
Yeah.
I want less clothes. I want less of everything.
Right.
And I do want my appliances, though. Like, we bought a new washer and dryer last year.
Yeah.
And I for whatever reason, I love that washer and dryer.
And you bought a new air conditioner this year.
Central Air. Yeah, we did.
And you're like, dang, they're right. It does save us more money.
Well... immediately our bill was cut $100 a month.
It was like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe over that.
So that'll pay for itself.
In 5 years.
Exactly. But you know, there is always a deeper level that you can go through.
Yes.
But there's also this symbiotic relationship because you still want some new clothes.
Yeah.
For the season.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, guess
still,
what, Julie?
Still
the
that.
Tops are no longer at waist length. They're now tunics, you know?
Yeah.
They've changed it.
It's a planned obsolescence.
Exactly. Yeah. Planned obsolescence. Yeah. Beautiful. Just like your iPhone, right?
Yes.
And so, even though I've never upgraded my iPhone.
We love your old-fashioned phone, Julie.
Because I drop it and it never breaks. And I feel like, until it's gone, I should just keep it and so forth.
Yeah.
But
it even has a little backpack.
Yes, it does. It really does. It does lose some apps though. Like, I don't know where they go, but I did upgrade to I did this without telling you. We're now spending $2.99 a month for all of us to share 50 gigabytes of memory.
Oh, good.
Because
we were
all full all the time.
And
so I just decided to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of losing apps.
You like, on your own, spent $2.99 a month.
On your bill.
On our bill.
Yeah.
Okay, girlfriend. All right.
I go, what's the chore I got to do to cover that? What's that? Tell me, mama. What chore do I have to cover that $2.99 a month? I remember when I was a little kid, we would talk about doing chores.
Yeah.
And a kid goes, who does chores?
Yeah. What's that word chores? What does that mean?
What's chores? What does that mean? I go, well, what do you do? Don't you like make your bed, clean your room? You know?
Oh, no. They said something like chores. What is that? You live on a farm?
Oh, yeah. You live on a farm?
Yeah. Chores.
I'm like, no, we live on a farm.
No. Chores are chores.
Chores are chores. You know? Got a list of things to do. My mom usually gives us like 5 minutes to do it. Okay, kids. You got exactly 66 seconds to go around and collect all the dirty clothes and put it in front of the washing machine. And go. I'm like, all right. You made everything fun for us.
Oh, thank you.
You did.
Thanks,
you made everything
heart.
Fun for us.
Thank you.
And
it probably wouldn't fly nowadays, though.
I think my brother tries to make things fun. I try to make things fun for when his girls come over and we've got leaves to pick up and sticks to pick up. I said, okay, girls.
Did you?
We have a contest.
Yeah.
I go, for the next 2 minutes, we're going to pick up sticks.
Did they buy it?
They did. And I said, for every 10 sticks, you get a nickel. They're like, all right.
What's a nickel? I'm sure. I remember
I'll tell
one
you
time
what,
they were golfing.
100 of them, you'll get a coffee from Starbucks.
That's true. We were all golfing, you know, and they were hitting golf balls. And And Lillian came running back with the empty golf ball basket. Uh-huh. And she goes, I got to get more golf balls. I go, well, I don't know. How much does it cost? She looked at me like, what if, why would I know that? What does that mean? Don't I just ask for it and it disappears?
And then I said, okay, go and check to see the sign.
Yes.
Go see what it costs and how we're going to figure this out.
She had to figure it out.
She did figure it out.
Like, gee, this did cost something.
Oh, it's funny because last year I went to the an orchard with Doug, Hillary and Dave, and the two grandkids. And we went to the petting zoo.
Yeah.
And nobody had quarters. Uh-huh. But luckily I had a quarter on me.
You had to, does it cost a quarter to pet a billy goat?
It costs a quarter to get the food from the machine.
So it's not totally a petting zoo. It's a feeding zoo.
That's exactly right. All right. Excuse me.
Yes.
A feeding zoo.
Thank you.
But I felt great because I usually go to see Jack with some kind of candy.
Yeah.
Or a box of, little box of
right.
cereal.
Right.
Because I want Smart. Him to... I want him in to create a synapse in his brain that says, when I see Julie,
she gives me good stuff,
and I love her.
And he does ask for you now.
Yes, he does.
He'll be crying and goes, where's Julie?
So,
she'll give me Cap'n Crunch, Count Chocula.
So we luckily had a quarter. I got a quarter out of my purse. I luckily had one, and it wasn't Canadian because I never know anymore. Yeah. And then I go, and we go to the machine, and he has no idea how this works, but he put the quarter in the right place.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't figure out how to put his hand flat to get the food.
Uh-huh.
So I did it. And then all this crappy food comes out of my hand, and you're just like, okay, well, I'm in it like Flynn now.
No.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then we went and fed the billy goats. And they're so cute. They don't bite you.
They're so sweet.
They you know, they just put their nose through the fence, and the little kids do it, and I did it. I thought they're and he's like, it's wet. I'm like, I know. They
Aww.
Just and their mouths just tickle your hand. It's so sweet.
Oh.
And there was one
do they
there.
Have teeth?
They have teeth, and I was surprised they didn't bite you.
Oh, how sweet.
And there was one there that was obviously pregnant. Because she was so huge, like wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this baby's going to come. And there were ones that were little baby ones there.
Aww.
I'm like, oh, this is so adorable.
Aww.
And Jack just loved it like crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, it was his, you know, another transaction like, oh, it costs 25 cents to feed the billy goats, you know.
Yeah.
But the sheep, the lambs, is a lamb and a sheep the same thing? I'm saying yes, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think so.
They did not care to be fed. They just, like, ignored us, really.
Oh.
Which I thought was very interesting.
Was there quarters? Could you have?
Yeah.
They just weren't hungry.
They weren't hungry.
Yeah.
They could care less about us. They actually showed us their butt.
What I love about billy goats is that there's two kinds of goats. Maybe there's more.
There is more.
There's probably more, but the two that I'm mostly interested in, because if I had a farm, there's one called screaming billy goats, and they sound like real people going, ah!
Right.
They scream.
Okay, yes.
And I find that fascinating. And then there's...
But do you really?
I do.
I know, but do you really want them in your backyard for the rest of your life?
No.
Procreating.
But here's what I would like, though. Because there's another kind of billy goats, and they're called fainting billy goats.
Okay.
And when they hear a loud, piercing noise, they faint.
You are so cruel.
And so
You're horrible.
I want so badly to have those two kind of goats in my backyard, and one going, and the other one fainting. And the other one getting up and goes, and the other one fainting. I just
this is
think
cruel.
That would be so awesome.
For about a short, hot minute, right? And then you're like, you have people coming over. What's wrong with your goats? Like,
and then I charge them.
Oh, it's a way of making money. It's your gig economy.
Yeah. It's a gig for me. And then I let them do yoga.
Oh, interesting.
They'll jump on their backs. And
I love it.
Yeah. Scream and faint.
Yeah. The one thing it was at Edwards Farm. Edwards West is where we went.
Because
I guess there's an Edwards East, you know, and they have a, but they said, please no pets of your own. The Edwards family has their pets roaming free, and they had a huge dog just roaming around with all these people.
Wow.
And it was a Leo like dog, you know.
Yeah.
Our friend Francine.
Yeah.
Her
would
dog,
you
Leo.
Trust that though?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
But I'll tell you what, this dog was awesome, but he was also a beggar, because you would buy the hot apple donuts. God.
They trained that dog to.
And he would just be, if you were eating a donut, he would just be walking and following you and like sitting in front of you begging like, please, please give me a donut. Please give me a donut.
Please buy me a dozen donuts.
Yes.
For $12.
Like, I don't know if this is kosher. Come on. What's this about? This is crazy talk.
Well, it is that time of year where you do go to the petting zoos and the orchards.
Well, I was shocked because I almost felt it was too cute. It wasn't very crowded, thank God, mm-hmm. but because Edwards East is usually packed. This one was Edwards West and wasn't mm-hmm. very packed. Mm-hmm. But I was shocked because they had six beautiful maple trees, I think, or some kind of trees. Mm-hmm. And they were perfectly colored. Like the leaves had all changed into that glorious red, right? Mm. And I'm like, I don't live that far from you guys.
Nobody
and
else
we
has
are
done
not
that.
Getting this color.
Yeah.
I really for a split second
manufactured it.
Did they paint this to give us this vibrancy? Like, wow, wouldn't this be wonderful?
Yeah.
You know?
Did they? Did they, Jill?
They didn't tell me. Yeah. I didn't touch it. I didn't get paint off me, you know. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
But I love the idea of going to the orchard.
Yes, I did too. I did too. I was just thinking, we've been doing some painting around the house, you know? Some touch-up paint.
You had this weird expression on your
face.
Well,
here's the reason why. I took my wet brush that I painted this one door that matches our walls.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Looks great. Looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Looks like the exact same color, right? Yeah. But I took that same...
And that's how you earn your keep. Yeah,
exactly. That's how I earn my keep. And my $2.99 extra month for storage. And
if you want that cloud storage, girlfriend,
I touched up a scrape on your wall.
Yeah,
and it's not the exact color.
No,
and
isn't that strange?
And also, the scrape came through, which is very odd.
Well, you know what? That's Menards paint.
Yeah, it is.
I tell you what, we buy Sherwin Williams. That stuff is awesome.
It's like butter.
It's cake batter.
Yeah. It's like thick.
It's cake batter. Sherwin Williams, best paint ever. Yeah. Menards, no.
The reason why I had that look on my face is because I had touched up something in the living room as well.
Oh.
And I'm hoping that it doesn't look horrible.
No. Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I had this crazy, what do they call it when you have something up your ass? Is it like I had this stick up my ass?
Yeah, hair up your butt.
Or something. That
feather.
This was.
Look, I don't know.
that. That I wanted to go from beige to gray in the house.
Yes.
And so the first part of this year, that was like, I had all this, like, yes, we'll do it. And I bought something like $500 worth of gray paint.
For the exterior.
And for the interior, too.
Oh, for the interior, too. You're right. Yeah.
Wasn't it interior?
No, because we're going to paint
is
the
it
trim.
All the, oh, was
it's all
gray?
Exterior. But you can use it interior.
Maybe you're right.
But you can use it interior.
But we did one thing, and we realized this was not what we needed to do.
Thank God. We painted around our garage door, and then you bought the new garage door, and then you go, I don't like it.
No.
And then I repainted it to the previous color.
And then
we loved it. You go, I love it.
Yeah.
And then I
so
go.
So now we have like $500 worth of paint.
Yes.
That is, what do we do with that?
We got to sell it.
Yeah. We got to put it
in. Because like you said, you had the thought that I can take this gray, add to brown and get our beige. And
which
come
is,
with,
the new color is grayish.
Is grayish.
Yeah.
And then I said, no.
No, mama. We are going to sell it at builder's discount.
I know, which I haven't done, which I would love to do. Can I do that?
I give you total permission to do
good.
That.
Okay, good. Because I don't think we have the impetus. First of all, I don't think we're going to be happy. Like, I think that you can be happy with gray tones, but not gray walls.
I'm not happy with it, no. I know that this house is meant for the color walls that we have.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then everything has to change. And I'm not about to do that.
No, no. And it's like, beige is not the right word. We have Navajo white.
Hello, people. Navajo white.
Navajo white.
Everybody in the universe has Navajo white.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
They do. They do. They really do.
That's because it's popular, Julie.
And it's also pretty. And it works well.
Yeah.
It works well with white trim. It just works well.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I don't know why, but that works well for us. And I like it. And I'm glad. And I'm also appreciative because I just wasn't ready to do. Because the one thing about you, which I love and appreciate so desperately.
Tell me.
Is that you don't like to have any rooms different colors.
Right.
So if we had, if you decide to paint one room gray or grayish,
yeah.
Every room in the house must have painted gray.
I'll tell you what. You had your bedroom painted a different color at one point.
I did. It was gold.
And like, it, was no, just a, it, was, color. It was just a richer color of what we have.
Yeah.
And I, even though I wasn't upstairs, I knew it existed.
And it drove you
crazy.
It drove you crazy.
It drove me crazy.
And finally you said, hey, this season, why don't you paint your room Navajo white?
Yeah.
I go, why? It looks so nice. It's great. He goes, no, I really would like it Navajo white. I'm like, I'm not going to argue with this because I can't win. I go, it's done. Done. Boom, next. I'll paint it Navajo white.
And now it is.
And now it is.
Thank God.
Well, it was interesting because my upstairs bathroom was like a seascape color.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that was really in.
Yeah.
And you said, and by the way, while you get your paintbrush wet, go ahead and paint your bathroom Navajo white as well. I'm like, done. And honestly, I am so appreciative of it.
Thank you.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks fabulous to have everything the same color.
Yeah.
And to have it look this vibrant and, you know, it just looks nice.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that. And that's just who we are. You know, that's just who we are.
Thanks, Julie. You make me sound so sweet.
Will you like to add your decorating touches to everything else, but you like to have a blank canvas for your wall?
Yeah, I like to have it all one color.
Yeah, you know? You do.
Yeah, and to be a kind of a just a regular basic palette color.
I think it does good for your soul. It doesn't
for me. It is.
Yeah,
yeah. So you, I don't know how much time we have left, but I was saying that you had a kind of a moral dilemma last night at the new restaurant that you guys went to.
Okay,
but maybe you save it for next week.
Yeah, I'll save it next week.
Really?
Okay, I'll tell you real quick. So I went to this new restaurant. It was a pizza place. That's the best pizza place in Rockford, supposedly. And we get there, and there's a 20-minute wait. But there is obviously like six tables that are not taken. And we're waiting. It's getting later and later. And finally, David goes to him and goes like, well, why can't we just sit here? We've been, you know, we could have eaten by now and then left. And the person said, well, that's saved for the family who owns the business and they'll be coming in. And that just set him off. He's like, well, then they don't want a business. And so he goes, and then he left, and then he went back in and talked to the manager and said, I don't think it's fair that you got for the last half hour waiting and this table could have been used and you're saving it for the owner's family whenever they decide to come in.
Right.
And she goes, oh, they misspoke and it wasn't for the owner's family. It was for someone who had a reservation for a large party. And he goes, well, when I called, you guys said you don't take reservations on Friday. And then she said, you know, I'm so sorry. They're new. They should never have taken the reservation. I'd like to give you free appetizers. He goes, I don't want free appetizers. I want to sit down and eat.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll give you a $25 gift card for your next time. And he's like, I don't want a gift card either.
Yeah.
I want to sit down and eat.
Yeah.
They weren't going to give him that.
Ah.
And so we just left and we went to Red Robin, which was fine.
Whoa.
And he's like, I'm not going to eat here now. I go, hell no, because the one thing I will not do, I will not eat at a restaurant where I've just criticized them before I got my food.
Hell no.
Just for fear of someone.
Yeah, Doug does that all the time.
I refuse to eat it.
Because you're thinking, of course they spit in your burger, Doug.
Yeah. Why? And I'm not saying they're giving you a virus because they cooked it out of it. But it's just, hey, I'm not going to criticize a chef before I get my food.
Right.
That's just common sense, people.
Yeah.
So was it a moral dilemma? I don't know.
Not really.
It was kind of a moral dilemma. Like, dude, don't tell me that you're saving this half the restaurant for the family. But yet, in my back of my mind, I thought to myself, if this was my mom, that's exactly what she would have done. Because that's what her fantasy is. To own a restaurant and to have one section always closed off for her and her friends to come.
That's right.
Whenever they want to.
That's exactly right.
I know that's been your fantasy forever.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the godfather, it's the godmother.
Exactly. And so I wasn't too angry about it.
Yeah. And, you know.
I wasn't too angry about it because I'm like, this is exactly what my mother would have done.
Done.
Done. Friday night and even busier? Hell yeah. Why else would I own a restaurant but not to have half the side taken from my family and friends who owe me something, who owe me a favor. So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
I think the show was a backpack and a half. It was great.
It was great.